We are honored to have with us S. Tom Gower, the University of Wisconsin-Madison Professor of Forest Ecology. He's been studying the role of Canada's northern boreal forest and climate change. Professor Gower, in a University of Wisconsin Science report for 2006 and 2007, you are quoted as saying, increased plant growth means the boreal forest will take in more carbon dioxide and may actually become a stronger carbon sink. But now your new article in Nature magazine for November 1st seems to contradict that, saying the boreal forest is a net source of greenhouse gases. What has changed your mind?
Basically, this most recent analysis using model simulation and accounting for increased disturbance across the landscape in northern Manitoba has shown us that wildfire has basically changed the system from a carbon sink, that is, taking up more carbon than it's releasing, to a carbon source. So it really now is sort of contributing to rising atmospheric CO2 concentrations.
Do you think you could summarize your paper's conclusions for us so that we understand it a bit better?
Yeah, I can try. We basically took a ecosystem process model that simulates carbon, nitrogen, and water, and we've really looked at, using historic climate data, how changes in climate over this almost 60-year period affected the sort of the net exchange of carbon dioxide between the boreal forest and the atmosphere. And then we used historic fire records to also estimate CO2 emissions due to wildfires. And what we found is that the climate, there were good years and we'd see more uptake of CO2 by the forest, and there were bad years and we'd see less carbon taken up by the forest. But overall, it sort of oscillated around some long-term mean without any long or dramatic changes. But the effects of fire on the simulation clearly showed this sort of downward steady trend of the forest taking up less and less carbon. In fact, it went from roughly 60 years ago, a system that this 1,000 by 1,000 kilometer grid taking up carbon to, at the end of the simulation, actually releasing CO2 or contributing to rising atmospheric CO2 concentrations.
So I guess we've seen the photos of fires in California. Are we to imagine that in Canada's north there are forest fires that just rage every summer and nobody knows about it, nobody hears about it?
Oh, absolutely. I always chuckle because the fires in heavily populated areas, typically the western U.S. where fire is very prevalent, get lots of publicity, but they're really quite small in size compared to the fires that burn in the boreal regions of Canada, Alaska, and Eurasia, mainly Siberia. I mean, there's just large fires that occur. In the late 1980s, a fire in northeast China burned a little over 1 million hectares in one fire.
The Black Dragon Fire.
So, you know, these fires are enormous in size. They're really difficult, both logistically and economically, to fight or to combat, and they do consume, you know, large areas. I know in 95, I think it was, I was in Manitoba working, there were 60 or 70 some odd wildfires burning during the month. So it is a very fire-prone system, and fire is a natural part of the ecology of boreal forests.
Well, I think ecologists have presumed in the past that, yes, there are big fires. They are natural. They happened before humans came here. But it'll grow back and things will be good again. But are we now seeing the potential for a positive feedback loop due to climate change that these fires could leave a lasting result?
That's clearly what the model suggests, because as you go from, you know, accumulating carbon to now releasing carbon, what that's really saying is it's putting more greenhouse gases back into the atmosphere, which cause additional warming, which make the forest even more susceptible to wildfires. And as you've accurately described, we now have a positive feedback loop set up. Now, how long that continues remains to be seen, but it's an important point to make. Fire is a natural component of these boreal systems and a number of other forest biomes, but we now are no longer in that steady state condition. We've moved to some new state, And I think that's reason to be concerned.
I think one important point that hasn't really reached the public as it should, I'm just starting to grasp it, is the pivotal role of soil. And it's in your study, and it's in other scientists that I've talked to about all the living and dead biological life that's in the northern soil that could be released as carbon or as methane if it's wet. Do you think this melting northern soil could deliver an unexpected punch of greenhouse gases to us?
Well, that was one of the key questions we had when we were doing this study is that there was some work done in Alaska showing that when these wildfires occur, immediately after that you get this large release of CO2, mainly because you've got more energy reaching the surface and you speed up decomposition. We did not see that we actually did measurements at a whole variety of different age stands. And we never saw any indication of that. I'd even offer a bit more evidence. I've also got an experimental warming site up in Thompson where we're heating the soil 5 degrees above ambient to, again, test this effect of climate change on the release of CO2 and other greenhouse gases from the soil. And we have not seen any sort of significant increase in CO2 from the warm soil. So it potentially could be a very important threshold, but the fire study as well as the warming study really are not showing that to date.
Well, I wonder, we've seen this startling melt of the Arctic ice sheet this summer, and there has been a lot of talk about what happens if the permafrost melts. But so far in your studies, you haven't seen that's happening right now.
That's right, and I've certainly familiar with the many of those are tundra sites. And they provide a pretty convincing argument that those systems are responding much more dramatically than what we've seen in the boreal forest. But, in those cases, permafrost is sitting maybe 30 centimeters below the soil surface, while in our systems, we either have discontinuous permafrost or no permafrost that we can tell. So a little bit different comparisons.
Now, as I understand it, your studies are based on a large area in northern Manitoba. Is there someone, or even yourself, preparing to study the whole Canadian North and figure out the greenhouse gas emissions coming from wildfires there?
Well, a number of people have sort of done some, I'll call, spreadsheet calculations, just looking at area burn and CO2 emissions. Werner Kurtz there in BC is probably one of the world's experts, if not the world expert. And I know he's put together a whole carbon budget for the Canadian forest. So he certainly is recognized as a world leader in some of these calculations.
We're talking with Professor Tom Gower from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Where can people find out more about your work?
Well, it's on the Nature homepage right now. That's the journal that was published in. We also have it highlighted on my homepage. It's highlighted by the National Science Foundation, which is the funding agency that provided funds. That's basically Canada's equivalent to NSERC. And it's also highlighted at the University of Wisconsin homepage as well. So a number of places.
Not hard to find. Well, Tom, we're all trying to figure this one out. We're almost trying to peer into the future, even though science can really only tell us about the present and the past. But do you have some predictions for the future of the boreal forest and its impacts on the overall climate system?
Well, that's probably our next big focus, is we would, with this experimental warming site, we hope to be able to begin to understand how the carbon cycle of the forest may change in a warmer climate. We would also like to use models to predict how wildfire frequency might change in a warmer climate, and then probably couple those together and say, okay, now with future climate forecasts, what will the new boreal forest look like as far as carbon uptake and interaction with the atmosphere? So that's sort of where we're heading, hopefully, in the next 5 years, assuming we can get funding to do something like that.
Is there something we've missed, a message you'd like to get across to people tracking developing climate change?
No, I had one person say, oh, the forests are not good anymore. Well, no, that's not the case. The forests are still trying to take up CO2, It's just that the disturbance regime has increased so dramatically that it's really diminishing their ability to offset rising atmospheric CO2 concentrations. So the trees are still doing their job. It's just that they're being disturbed more frequently, and we think that the increased wildfire frequency is due to combustion of fossil fuels.
We've been talking with Professor Tom Gower, who just published an article in the November 1st, 2007 issue of Nature magazine with startling new evidence about the boreal forest and wildfires in climate change. Thank you for taking this time to talk with us today.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
All right. I'm Alex Smith reporting for Radio EcoShock.